Well, thanks for being here today and Hope at Home. It's good to have you tuning in this morning. We begin an entirely new series called Living in the Goodness of God. And there's about seven different ideas that we're going to look at in Psalms 23. And for some, they've said this is maybe the most well-known, beloved psalm in the entire Bible. It's only six verses long, and it's an incredible psalm to help us understand who God is and how much He loves us. If you think about this, about 90 days until Christmas. 90 days until Christmas, and some people say this is by far the most stressful time of the year. You wonder, I've already heard there's going to be shortages of the things you might want to buy. I'm a little concerned if there are going to be enough turkeys for Thanksgiving. I mean, these are things that we worry about. And I don't know. Who knows? The truth is, right now, the whole world's a little crazy, right? It feels like we're in an ocean of stress and we're getting just banged on by all kinds of waves of worry. Let me ask you a question. You have to raise your hand. If you were to be honest, right now, how's your stress level? Right now, is there anyone who feels like I'm just swimming in this ocean of stress and I just keep getting pounded by waves of worry? We worry about our finances. What about our job? What about this relationship? What about marriage? What about our kids? What about our health? What about like surviving? That happened to me Friday late afternoon. I bought a really big rock, and with a skid loader, they put it on the trailer. And because it was on a mound of dirt, I have like a furniture dolly that folds down. So the rock was able to roll onto it, and then it flattened the tires of the dolly. I don't know, it was 450 pounds, so I pumped it back up, and I thought, all right, the trailer has an auto tilt, so if I just go slowly, we'll roll right off. Life was perfect, the mound. Then I had to get it down the grass, up the mound, on top of the mound. Sharon said, do not do this by yourself. It's a bad idea. Again, she was right. But I built a ramp, and I had it strapped onto that dolly, so the dolly's laying flat, and I have a handle. So I thought, I'm going to rev back. I'm going to push it down the hill. It's going to go up, and it's going to land perfectly. A couple of things went wrong. One, I pushed it too fast. Two, I was holding on like with a death grip to make sure that it didn't tip over. Three, I didn't realize that a 450-pound rock could catapult a 218-pound body. I'm not kidding. So I pushed this thing like, yeah, whoa, boom. And I thought, I didn't even know if I died. I mean, it was one of those things. So there's the stuff we worry about, and then the stuff that happens so fast, you're like, okay, did I even live? It's a stressful time in life, but think about, just for a moment, think about stress. Think about worry. Think about this ocean that sometimes we feel like we're drowning in. I mean, is it really that helpful to be stressed out and worried? I think for the most part, it doesn't solve anything. Worry, when's the last time worry could change the past? And, you know, there's statistics that say like 98% of the stuff we worry about never happens. So worry, it can't change the past. It probably can't correct the future. But absolutely, worry can be reasonable today. And for the most time, it's counterproductive. So is it helpful? Then is it reasonable? I'm not even really a worrier, but I have worried a calm ocean in life into like a tsunami is coming. I have worried a little molehill into like a Mount Everest, you know, landslide. Have you ever done that? And it seems like lately there's a little bit more, you know, that we can worry about. Yesterday I was stressed out, went on a bike ride, and I wanted to get to Rogers because there's a Casey's there. And that Casey's has this like cherry cheese, cream cheese filled pastry. And I was stressed, is it going to be there? So I'm right like, Jim, can you slow down? It's like, what has gotten into you? I'm like, a pastry. Well, I get there, I run in before like they could go in, and there's only one of them. Well, of course I had to buy it. And then I thought, because there's not two, I'll get an apple fritter and just stick it in the back of my jersey. And one of the guys said, I think if I would have bought that or said I wanted it, you would have had to given it to me because you're a pastor. I mean, do you ever have stress like that? Who ate that thing in the refrigerator? Come on, most of the time, it's not helpful. It's not even reasonable. Stress, it exaggerates the problems, exasperates us, and it makes for a tough life. The more we ponder, can it happen? Is it going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, there are people right now who are paralyzed. Paralyzed because of what might happen. And it's stress and it's worry. And so I Googled stress and worry on our physical health. After reading like what stress and worry does to our bodies, I'm like, I'm so stressed out. Because you realize when you worry and you're stressed out so much, it's so bad on your body. And I'm like, I'm stressed out even reading about this. You get ulcers, back aches, headaches. Your blood sugar can be affected. I'm starting to write down the things that happen. I'm like, this is so stressful. Increased heart rate. I mean, can you feel it? Insomnia. That's not good. And interestingly, our bodies, if God really created us, He didn't create us to take on everything. We're the only part of God's creation that just is all stressed out. I mean, animals are normally not stressed out, although our dog lately, I blame Sharon. We can't feed this dog. We just have to give him his food and he thinks that's good. No, we've started feeding him. The other day, I'm like trying to eat, and the dog's, he's a cute little dog. He's like, I'm like, are you serious? No. So I don't know. Our dog may have a little stress when we don't feed it. Was it you, Hunter, or is it me? Okay, we'll just keep moving on. We weren't born. Understand this. You weren't born to worry. But you learn how to worry. And we practice worry. Some of us are really good and proficient at that. But, I mean, is it really reasonable? Is it really helpful? Does worry help your mental well-being? Does it help your physical well-being? I don't think so. And that's why I'm so thankful for our new series called Living the Good Life. How has God intended for us to respond to this ocean of stress and the waves of worry? I love this psalm. It says in Psalm 23, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need." You want to worry less? You want to stress a little bit less? Here's how you do it. You believe that God's going to take care of you. If you truly believe that God can take care of you and God wants to take care of you, you're going to worry less. But see, there's a little rub there, right? Because we think, well, no, I probably have to do this. I probably have to take care of this. It's all up to me, when the reality is that's where our problem comes. You think about the context of this psalm. I mean, we don't see a whole lot of shepherds in our day, but what a shepherd did was this: a shepherd provided. A shepherd was the one who led them to food, led them to shelter, led them to the basic necessities for their life as a sheep. A shepherd was the one who would protect the sheep. A shepherd was the one who would guide the sheep. This is where you go. This is what is going to help. This is how it works. And a shepherd was also the one who would correct the sheep. You know, if a sheep got stuck in thickets and or something, that a shepherd was the one to help them. And that's what God says he wants to do for you. God promises these four things in your life. He wants to provide for you. He wants to protect you. He wants to guide you. He wants to correct you. Isaiah says it like this, and I love it. God takes care of his people like a shepherd. Worry is not reasonable. It's not helpful. It's definitely not healthy for us. But God says, if you let me be your shepherd, I can help with this. The question is this: how does God really become our shepherd? And I wrote it, it's just simply ABC. First thing we have to do, bottom line, is you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord cannot be your shepherd until the shepherd is your Lord. Did you get that? He's not the shepherd of everybody. The Lord is your shepherd when that shepherd becomes your Lord. This is super important, because God is only the shepherd of those who let him be that shepherd. And what does it mean for him to be your Lord? It means this: that you are not the manager, the CFO, the CEO. You are not the one who is truly leading your life. It's through God and God's word that you're taking your next steps in life. And again, that's the rub, right? None of us want to have worry. A lot of us have worry, but how do we get rid of worry? The Lord is my shepherd, but we have to make the shepherd our Lord. And you're calling the shots, or he's calling the shots. John says it this way. It's Jesus talking. He says, I am the good shepherd. I love that. He's not a shepherd who's bad. He's a good shepherd. He says, my sheep, couple of things here. They know me, they listen to my voice, and they follow me. If you want to know today if Jesus is your Lord, it's simply to ask this question: do you know Jesus? Have you accepted him as your Savior? Do you listen to Jesus? And then do you follow what his word says? That's pretty simple. We accept him. What happens when we accept him? We listen to his voice, and then we follow him. And that's the rub. We all want it our way. How many of us, especially in this day and age, want to be told what to do? How many people have an opinion about everything? You know what I've read in the Bible? It's interesting. There's something that's left out of the Bible, and it's my opinion. Right? Nowhere in there it says, Jim, does this work with you? Jim, are you okay with this? Such a beautiful psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. He wants to guide me. He wants to correct me. He wants to provide for me. He wants to protect me. But he's only my shepherd when he becomes my Lord. The root behind most of our worry is this: the fear of not being in control. Worry most often is an attempt to control the uncontrollable. And we find ourselves in this ocean of stress, and waves of worry pound us. I grew up at the beach, and there's just kind of a rule of the ocean. If this is the ocean and this is the sand, you never turn your back on the ocean. You know, Google those funny videos of, you know, someone looking real cute, and then they just get pounded. You don't turn your back on that. You don't turn your back on the ocean and expect not to get pounded. You can look worry and stress head on with the Lord as your shepherd. You absolutely can. And really, we have two options. We can be in control and have more stress, or be in less control and let him take care of our stress. It's called living the good life. Living the life as God intended. If you don't know God, well, then I think you should be worried. You got a lot to worry about. If you've never accepted Jesus, you have all eternity at stake. So A is this: accept him as your Savior and let him be your Lord. B is this: begin to pray more, and I promise you'll stress less. You know, there are times in my life where I've wanted to take it and do it my way, and then it doesn't work out, and then I'm desperate enough that I'm like, oh God, can you please help? And I think the Lord is saying, Jim, I would have helped you a long time ago if you would have prayed to me. You know, you say, I don't have time to pray. Do you have time to worry? Do you have time not to sleep at night? Do you have time, because of your worry, to chase addictions? Do you have time to figure out why your stomach is in knots? Do you have time to worry? If you do, then you have time to pray. Worry, does it really change anything? Prayer does. Over and over and over again, I have people tell me how God answered their prayers. How there was a situation bigger than them, beyond them. Oh, no. And then there's God. He can take care of you. We don't need to worry like non-believers. And again, we make a choice. Pray, panic. Pray, panic. What do we want to do? Philippians says this, and this is Paul writing from prison. If anybody has something to worry about, it's a pending execution, and he's in prison. Paul says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need, and then thank him for what he's done. Then you will experience, I love this, God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard our heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd when the shepherd becomes my Lord. The world is a stressful place right now. And it can either consume us, or we can choose to say, God, you said you were going to protect me. You said you're going to provide for me. You said you were going to guide me, and I need you to correct me, because I don't want to live a life that's so full of stress that I'm actually doing damage to myself because I don't really know how to cope with all the stress. That's such a great verse. Guard your heart. Guard your mind. Most people pray the prayers they think God wants to hear. Well, I need to pray this or that. Paul says you can pray about anything. I probably should have prayed about that big rock. Nope, let's just run into it like a beast and become a catapulted person. If it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. Just one third thing, it starts with the letter C. If you want to deal with less stress, look at the waves in the ocean of stress head on. Here's how you do it. Consider one day only. One day only, one day at a time. The scripture says, don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of you, your tomorrow too. Somebody said it this way, today is the tomorrow that you worried about yesterday. Today is that tomorrow that you worried about yesterday. When you worry about yesterday, you can't do anything. When you worry about tomorrow, what control do you really have? Today is what matters. And I think Jesus knew this when he was teaching his followers how to pray. You can't take on too much. It doesn't mean that you don't plan. It doesn't mean that you don't think ahead. It doesn't mean that you can't have a strategy for your life, for your business, for life. But the reality is you can only live 24 increments hourly in one day. And when Jesus taught his followers to pray, he said this, give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. We don't know what tomorrow holds. And I'm kind of thankful for that. I know God knows. And God wants to take care of us. And God wants you to be in a place where you're not as stressed out. Overcoming worry, I mean, it's daily, but sometimes it's hourly. And really in our lives, you know, when we were both pretty sick, it was kind of moment by moment. God, I need to stress less. I don't have control, but I know you do. Man, it makes a big difference. God cares about you today. It also says there in Matthew, your heavenly Father already knows perfectly well what you need. And he will give that to you if you give him first place in your life and live as he wants you to live. You know, it's interesting that when I decide to take on all of my own things and not trust God, I'm in some ways, and I don't even like to say this about myself, but it's true, living a little bit like a practical atheist. Like I believe in God, but I'm doing life my way. I got to make it work out because you're supposed to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and make life happen because nobody's going to make it happen for you. And then I can say I love God, but I can live as if there is no God. And I take on all this stress that God never intended for me to take on. And why do I do that? Because I'm a little bit afraid that I can't control what's coming. I got to take care of this because I don't know. I mean, God, maybe, you know, I'll throw a prayer up once in a while. The Lord is my shepherd. He wants to provide for us. He wants to protect us. He wants to guide us. He wants to correct us. And why is that? Because he cares. Every shepherd knows when they lose sheep, they lose resource. They lose the ability to generate income. They lose the ability to continue in their business. God's business wasn't just to create you. God's business was to provide his son to die for you, that you could experience, the scripture says, life abundantly. In just a couple of moments, we're going to receive communion. And Pastor Kevin said, hey, I did something kind of cool with the communion stuff in case there's anybody who's worried, like, I don't want someone putting their hand and taking the bread. So he put the bread in one cup, then put another cup on top of it. And who knows if the cups will be stuck together so much that you'll have to crack the cup open and it'll be a little bit of like a combat communion. But we'll kind of see how it works. But do you realize today that even lately you could have missed a lot of life that God intended for you to enjoy? Hey, I know life is pretty difficult. I know there are things that we could stress about, we should stress about, but this prolonged stress, this prolonged worry, this just being pounded is not healthy for anybody. Thank you for crying just to emphasize my point. Bottom line today is this. The Lord is only your shepherd, your protector, your guide, when he is the Lord of your life. And he's the Lord of your life when you listen and you follow. And he has such a great plan for us in the scriptures. I wrote this kind of last thought. The Lord really is my shepherd. And we need to ask the question, can we actually say that? Is he really your shepherd? He can't be that unless he's your Lord. Just as a heads up, as in the next couple of weeks, Psalms 23 is, it's such a great little chapter in the Bible. 17 times it uses the word I or me or my. This little psalm, the word you, God's talking about us. And maybe if you have time, just read Psalm 23 a couple of times. Maybe even read that and pray that this week. Lord, could you be my shepherd? Could you be my shepherd? Help me to make you my Lord and my shepherd. And watch some of the things that you worry about. I mean, that's a big deal right now. And the proof that you are loved, the proof that he cares, is Jesus dying for you and dying for me. Let's pray together and then we'll stand and receive communion. Father, I thank you that you love us. And I want to pray a special prayer this morning for anyone who's just, I mean, they're honest and they're saying, I'm more stressed out than I want to be. And maybe Jesus is the Lord, but I just need to give some stuff to him. I just need his help. And if you say, Pastor Jim, would you pray for me? I'd love to do that. I'll not only pray for you today, I'll pray for you this week every time God brings you to my mind. And I want you to look up at me and say, pray for me. Just got some stress, okay? Yeah, I will pray for you. I care about you. Not like the good shepherd does, but I sure do care. I maybe can't make the difference, but I know he can. I'm gonna pray for you, and I care about you. Yeah, I love it when teenagers are honest enough and they look up and say, pray for me. Absolutely. God, I pray for these friends that you will not only bless them, but give them the assurance that you're not going to fail them. This world will fail us. And life sometimes is hard and we don't quite understand it, but you will never fail us. You allowed your son to die for us. Scripture says that we would have life and have it in abundance. Help our lives not to be dictated just by what's happening, but by what you have said. You will provide, you will protect, you will guide, you will correct. We want you not only as our shepherd, but we want you as our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1 Corinthians, it says this, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said this, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you.'" I don't totally understand, but I know Jesus does. Big time. He was beat up, broken, lied to, cheated. And he did all of that because he cares about you and cares about me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you do drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So as we receive this communion today, I encourage you to reflect in your heart and say, "God, where am I?" If you've never accepted him, that you would accept him. That's the only thing about communion. If you don't have to be part of Hope Church, but if you're not part of God's family, it's okay, Amanda. You know, it's a beautiful example. That's how we should be to God. You pick me up right now and you feed me, and that baby is so dependent upon mom and dad. I think God says, that's why I don't want you to act childish, but come to me as a child would. I literally want to take care of you. And that's all about the Good Shepherd. So God, we thank you for this communion we get to receive. Your death provided so much life for us. God, help us, we pray. Forgive us our sins. Give us strength in our bodies. Your body was broken that we might have strength mentally, emotionally, physically. In your name we pray, amen. Let's stand together. There's two stations in the back and the front. You can receive communion, then we'll sing one last song together before we go.